T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
In town, the Chicago Bears and their game record, Khalil Mack. All set to take on Matthew Stafford and the Rams on Sunday Night Football. Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth.
Dalton looking, throwing, passes tipped and intercepted in the end zone. And the Rams have taken the ball away on a red zone turnover, the worst kind possible.
Rolling left, up to the fake. He's going to air it out. Deep downfield, has a man open. He's caught at the 15-yard line by Van Jefferson.
I don't think anybody touched him. That'll be a 67-yard L.A. Ram touchdown.
It's kicking the groin.
Dick Butkus is in the house tonight.
He's got the look of a lot of Bears fans right now. Like, what was that?
Snap, Stafford, plenty of time. No pressure. Late pressure now. Hicks throwing deep, wide open. Cup to the 10, waltzing in. The deepest of the deep was not there.
And a second bomb. This one good for 56 yards to Cooper Kupp.
Here comes Matt. Too late. Throwing back of the end zone. Touchdown, Rams. Robert Woods in the back of the end zone.
And Dalton on the fourth down. And finally. Aaron Donald works his way onto the stat sheet. And the Rams get it on down. So for the first time in a regular season game, SoFi Stadium with fans packed the house. And open it up with a 20-point win, 34-14.
The kick in the groin.
You know what the conversation's going to be in Chicago now, right?
But that will not derail our baseball conversation.
Garcia, center field.
No!
Purdue.
Go back.
Who needs a 10th inning? Sox win!
A little unlikely thunder off the bat of Leury.
No, we're talking the legend.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
We're not derailing Bears Monday for White Sox 2 of 3 and Matt Spiegel's fifth inning.
Look how visibly uncomfortable our boy is. That was awesome.
I hated that open.
Here's what happens when you hand the keys to the production studio to the best in the business. You really are abdicating responsibility. You allow the man to set the tone.
To make some editorial choices.
Yes, and a Leury Garcia walk-off after Kimbrel blows two saves apparently got him in a better mood than anything regarding that game last night.
Which I understand. We were waiting all day for a kick in the groin. That was very accurate. A buddy of mine texted me and he said, "So why are the Bears on Sunday Night Football?" And I said, NFL does this for new stadiums.
There's no way to know.
New stadiums.
Correct.
That's why the Raiders-Ravens, it was like the Chiefs-Browns was not for the whole country with Nance and Romo calling the game because the NFL does this stuff for new stadiums, right? Packers-Saints with Buck and Aikman actually was in more media markets in the 3 o'clock window. So you had Nance, Browns Chiefs might be an AFC championship game preview, but they don't get prime time because Raiders have a new stadium. Rams have a new stadium.
Don't you think the guys at NBC knew that everyone was disappointed to be tuning into that thing at the end of the night?
Yeah.
In their opening salvo, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth were basically apologizing to Bears fans. Like, I know you'd like to see Justin Fields. We understand.
Yeah, we're not the ones making this decision.
We had nothing to do with this.
In our production meeting, we too would think it'd be better.
We also think that would be a better product for us.
We have the graphics ready to go. Uh-huh. We are prepared.
We hope he plays, frankly. Yeah. Like, they were apologizing for the fact that we were going to watch this garbage team, unfortunately.
And yes, Bears fans, I did see your team. I wish I didn't, but I did. I'm Jim Rome.
Yeah, you are.
Jim Rome with a very healthy Ira. That commercial. I'm sorry. It's Bears Monday. Just let it flow. Listen to the Gold commercial for Jim Rome. He's talking about his Ira.
He's talking about his Ira?
Not his Aunt Ira.
That just means his accountant Ira. He's just
a bad idiot move. Stop talking about the sponsor.
He's a Gershwin.
Dump him.
He's a Gershwin Brothers guy, right? He likes the lyrics more than the music on the Gershwin Brothers.
Ira.
That's the best courtesy laugh Danny Parkins has ever given me.
Did you just try to pull a Gershwin Brothers reference on Danny Parkins?
I turned to you guys hoping for anything, but really I'm just thinking about like the 8-9 people in the audience. But the fact that Danny gave me a courtesy laugh is just, that's teammateship.
I'm here for you, buddy. I am here for you. I have nothing else to say, though, so the bottom of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Thank you.
Right? I mean, they didn't want to be showing that to us.
No, of course not. The whole thing was an infomercial for the stadium, but I got to say, and again, Twitter is a microcosm of a fake world. I understand that. But I am genuinely curious of our people in our audience who listened last week who thought, man, this is so unnatural for Parkins to say he's rooting against the Bears, even if you could maybe get there with like understanding the intellectual logic behind it. When you're watching that game and you see how much worse the Bears are than the Rams, a real contender, and you see how bad this defense is. Mm-hmm. Matt Stafford, in his entire career, has never had a single game with a passer rating better than he had last night against the Bears. First game, new receivers, first game, new coach, first game, new system.
He had a lead. How often did he have a lead in Detroit?
It's amazing, right?
It's amazing what can happen when you're up in a game and you've got a coach who knows what he's doing.
Yeah, competently coached, mm-hmm. have competent players around you. It's amazing how good Matt Stafford could look and how bad the Bears' defense is and is capable of making any quarterback look like an all-pro. And I'm not trying to overreact to one game. I'm sure there will be better days and moments for the Bears defense this year, but they're not good.
Yeah.
They're not a good team.
They're not a good team, and there clearly is not a cohesive togetherness with the plan, as what they have tried to sell us all off season became exposed immediately and all throughout the game as like a pack of either lies to themselves or lies to us or just a mix of it. They're not good enough to get a break-even performance from Andy Dalton and carry that to the playoffs. They're not good enough to do that.
Playoffs?
No, I know.
Playoffs.
But they think that if they just raise the level of quarterback play with what they had last year, assuming that they're just as good as they were last year, that they could gut it out to a playoff appearance with Andy Dalton as a quarterback. They've tried to sell us that, and the offensive line doesn't fit that. The defense doesn't fit that. Obviously, the secondary doesn't fit that. Probably the skill position guys. I don't think Matt Nagy's offensive scheme fits that. There is not a cohesion to everything there together. They're way further away than they have tried to tell us they are.
I agree, and that's why a lot of the pushback that we got when we were talking about this in the week leading up to the game of how it's in the best interest, both short and long term, for the Bears, a lot of the stuff behind for them to lose the game, a lot of the pushback was, hey man, they're 0-0. Weird things happen in the NFL. You could win, you could stumble into some things, you could have some turnover luck, you could have some health luck, maybe your schedule isn't as tough as it appears to be on paper. And so I'm wondering, because a lot of people did tweet me, ooh, like, okay, I see where you're coming from. Ooh, this is really bad. Like, how many losses is it going to take for Matt Nagy to start saying this is about development and the whole purpose here is figuring out what we have in Justin Fields, which is what the goal should have been from day one of training camp. But
correct, and it hasn't been the goal. It should have been the goal as soon as you draft him and you realize that's the road you're going to go down. That should be the goal. But that doesn't fit with the organizational lies that I think they sold to the people above them to maintain their jobs.
I clearly agree, but what? How many more weeks? We saw it last night, man. You look around the NFL, And I know you were doing baseball yesterday,
mm-hmm.
but you watched Bucks Cowboys. Think so that's two teams in the NFC, and then the Rams. Think about how far away the Bears are from being able to keep up with any of those three teams.
They don't play that kind of game.
No.
It's not that kind of game that
they're
playing.
And they don't have a defense that can slow down that kind of game anymore. They used to. In 2018, they held the Rams to 6 points.
Uh-huh. That's why early on when they started going for it on fourth down and Collins was like, well, I guess they think they're going to be in a shootout, so they better really – they can't win a shootout. So then they end up playing, having a couple long drives, like, oh, yeah, there's that complimentary brand of football. I mean, that's the kind of boring-ass football that they have to play to try and gut out a win here or there against some certain teams that are explosive, and that's like 20 out of 32 probably in the league.
Yeah, they don't have the best player on their defense at this point. I would like to think it's Khalil Mack, but he was a pretty much of a non-factor last night. It's probably Roquan Smith. Roquan Smith is an inside linebacker, which is not a premium position in the NFL. It's nice to have a great one, but that is not edge rusher, corner, ball hawking, safety that turns you over five times. James Daniels was really good yesterday. That's a guard. David Montgomery was really good yesterday.
It's a running back.
That's a running back. The place
it's funny, man. You're right, because as good as Montgomery has proven himself to be, I don't want to pay him what running backs go for because it doesn't make any sense in this NFL. Look at Zeke Elliott's contract. It's an absolute disaster.
Yeah, 3 years ago, the best running backs in the NFL were Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell.
And they're practice squad guys, if anything.
It turns over so quickly. So like I listened to the station a bit today. I read all of the articles, and I David Montgomery deserves all of the praise that he was getting. He was very impressive last night. But David Montgomery is not likely going to be a sustainable year-over-year-over-year piece. It's so rare at that position. And even if he is, it's the most replaceable thing
right.
in the NFL.
And even like if that is your strength, if you look at this and you're like, okay, Montgomery in the interior of my line, that is my strength.
Right.
And that's
guard
what I'm gonna
to
guard
do. And the running back.
Then stop running your garbage-ass scheme, which doesn't fit that at all. Like literally change it up and lean on the run and get in the I formation. I know he didn't come here to run it, but go ahead and run that stuff and then run play action and bootlegs off. It doesn't even have to be in the I. It could be with a single back, like the stuff that McVay did with Jared Goff for 3 years
right.
and made himself a competent offense with inferior quarterback play because schematically he leaned on the run game. If that's what you are, if that's what you have as a strength, then actually do that instead of running your goofy-ass system, which is supposed to be the star here. Or if you want to run your system, then put in a guy who might actually be able to do it.
Well, that's the thing. Because, again, and I clearly a lot of people disagree with this, I didn't think the offense was that bad last night. Now, it was frustrating, and it was conservative, but the Rams, number one defense in the NFL overall, number one defense in the NFL at keeping teams from plays under 20 yards.
Well,
chunk plays.
Considering what they're trying to do, the offense, yeah, I mean, it had its moments. Like, look, the problem is if that's the offense you're going to play, then your defense needs to be great if you're going to end up being a 10-win team.
Exactly.
And their defense isn't great.
Exactly. So once you get to that place and you realize, oh, my God, the veteran starter can only check the ball down and get the ball out quick from snap to throw. God. But you know that you can't do that against the good teams, because the good teams get chunk plays, and your defense now is going to give up a lot of those chunk plays. Dude, look at this. Cooper Kupp, 56-yard catch. Van Jefferson, 67-yard catch. Tyler Higbee, 37-yard catch. Robert Woods, 19. DeSean Jackson, 18. Six different guys on the Rams had plays longer than any member of the Bears passing game.
You remember Friday in our short show when I defended the mindset of Eddie Jackson based on the find that you had on the Bears' social media channels?
Yeah.
I'm not here to defend Eddie Jackson.
Yeah. While veteran safety Eddie Jackson pushes them to mimic his ball-hawking mentality.
What separates you? You going to make a tackle or you going to get the football? Come on, bro. Everybody can tackle. Dude, what's going to separate you, bro? You still fight for a spot. A million people can tackle. Everybody can't get the ball.
Well, a million people can tackle.
Eddie Jackson, not among them.
He's making that quote sound really, really bad.
Yeah.
It's making that whole, he's furthering the narrative of a man who got paid and is now making decisions based on his health and his desire and effort level.
I want to talk to Pat Manley about that in 15 minutes. Because
doesn't that suck to see?
It's terrible. The guy was on the Bears top 100 list for their 100th season.
He had so much to prove.
He was above Patrick Manley.
He was above Patrick
That's
Manley.
A crime.
I talked to Pat about that.
Yeah, it's insulting.
I mean, like, he had so much to prove after the injury at Alabama, being drafted where he was, and as good as he was supposed to be. He had so much to prove, and then he proved it. And now it doesn't seem to be proving much of anything except that he shouldn't have gotten paid.
This segment is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. But what do you do when you reach the realization that your quarterback can't generate big plays, partly because of him, partly because of your offensive line, and that coincides with a defense that's going to give up a bunch of big plays? How do you reach any conclusion other than this is a 6-win team? And then if you reach the conclusion that they're a 6-win team, why the hell are you playing Andy Dalton and not Justin Fields? To me, that is where the consensus should be.
I think at 1-3, they'll decide, yes, that's time.
All right, well, then they'll get there 8 weeks too late. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
What separates you? You going to make a tackle or you going to get the football?
Rolling left after the fake. He's going to air it out. Deep downfield. Has a man open. It's caught at the 15-yard line by Van Jefferson. And he gets up and rumbles to the end zone. Matthew Stafford with a bomb. It's got the great arm. We know that. And then Jefferson makes the catch, rolls over, doesn't get touched, and takes it in.
No touch there by either defender, which would have put the ball down at the 12.
Everybody can tackle. A million people get tackled. Everybody can't get the ball.
Yeah, that's definitely a learning lesson to make sure you touch him when he's down.
Yikes. A learning lesson, a teachable moment to touch him when he's down?
We thought it's newer type of situation.
Is Eddie Jackson still in college, but it's just down immediately when their knee hits the ground? What the hell?
How about Tayshaun Gibson? How long has Tayshaun Gibson been in the NFL? The answer is since 2012.
Yeah, they know the rule.
That's definitely a learning lesson to make sure you touch him when he's down.
What?
That's Nagy last night talking about that. That's not a learning lesson. That is, what is that? Just what, that's like, it's just nonchalance?
It's a mental error.
But both of them thinking the other one was going to do it? Then both do it.
Incompetence. Bad football.
Sadness. Distraction. Confusion.
Bad football.
Incompetence.
Bad caddying.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Cooper Kupp, his touchdown. I would have liked someone to have been able to be within the picture to have a chance at making a touch on him. Dude, 10 yards was the nearest dude.
Do we have any clarity other than the missed assignment that seemed to be Eddie Jackson again? I mean, like, he's the one who should be back there, who's running back, but that's often what the free safety can look like. Like, I don't know for sure that was the cause.
Yeah, but I don't think we have it. I did not hear every word of Matt Nagy from earlier today, but
here's what we can put on.
You missed a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot of words.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, huh?
Yeah, it was good.
Here's what we can put on Eddie, too. The missed tackle on Cooper Kupp on the quick screen pass. It ends up being a 15-yard gain.
Yeah.
That leads to a Robert Woods touchdown 7 plays later. I mean, and then he made some tackles late. You tell he's like, you know what? I think I've been embarrassed enough for the whole not tackling thing. Let me start tackling now.
Yeah, great. Good job. Too little, too late. And I just want to be clear about the offense. I am not saying the offense was good. It clearly wasn't. Only having 2 pass attempts over 10 yards, one of them being an interception and one of them being the 4th-and-15 attempt that went 14 yards, clearly was not good, okay? So do not get it twisted. I am merely saying that the Bears could have given up 60 points if they would have had a bunch of 3-and-outs on offense last night. Like, if they would not have actually moved the chains a little bit, got into Rams possession, made the Rams have long drives. The defense literally, again, quoting from Brad Biggs' article, worst yards per play allowed by a Bears defense, if you remove the kneel downs, in 20 years. Like, maybe the Chiefs, right? Remember the Monday Night Football game where the Chiefs-Rams was 54-51? Right? That was the score of that game. The shootout. Maybe the Chiefs could have hung with the Rams giving up that type of yardage and played a shootout into the 50s. And the Bears are not built for that.
No.
So
they allowed the Rams 7.7 yards per play.
And that's with the kneel downs.
That's with the kneel downs.
You remove the kneel downs, it was 8.5, which is the most they've given up in 20 years. So it's not that the offense was good. It was way too conservative. And again, that is a product of what Dalton is at this point in his career.
Yeah.
And already being terrible at tackle and losing multiple. Elijah Wilkinson was in that game. You asked me.
Dude, there quickly. Hey, there's Larry Borum. Hey, there, Larry Borum's gone. But yeah, man, our guy Jason Peters. How much you got left in the tank? I know you've got a lot left in the tank. I don't know about a lot.
He's Jason Peters still has a lot more football left in his career.
I don't know about a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't know about a whole lot. That's some self-awareness. I'll give him credit for that.
Well, Jason Peters is questionable with a quad injury. You'll see him here. When he came up after this play, he was indicating his right leg was bothering him. Now, remember, he was fishing on a lake in Dallas, catching crappies when he got a call from Juan Castillo to come play. And that was very late into camp. And so he said he was only about 85% when he got here.
Mm. He's going to be going fishing again.
Fascinating.
Maybe going fishing again.
Is it just me, or is that kind of Mac-esque for his last turnaround here? Probably out on the lake, got about 85% left.
Yeah, I don't know.
That sounds like three more years of radio to me.
Oh, no. Jason Peters still has a lot more football left in his career.
I don't know about a whole lot.
Catching crappie. I didn't know what kind of fish it was. I'm just pleased to know.
Crappie.
Crappie. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Crappie. I thought it was not crappie. No.
Really? It's called an A, though, right?
It's an A. It's an A.
Yeah, but it's crappie.
I'm calling it a crappie.
They taste pretty good.
It doesn't taste, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like crap?
No. Yeah.
It tastes more like crop.
No.
You set the over-under at Jason Peters' games at 8.5. He didn't make it 8.5 possessions.
No, that was his half game. He only has to play 8 more.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm there.
Yeah.
He played 8 last year for the Eagles.
Pat Manley on whatever the hell that was. And I about Eddie Jackson, I don't feel great about saying guy gets paid and then stops trying. But Pat was in an NFL locker room for 20 years. Mm. I'm sure he's seen examples of it. Mm. I'm wondering if he's willing to see it. You hear my teases now?
I can't help it. I can't help it now. I've been infected by Al Michaels apathy.
Sparkins and Spiegel on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.